Hello and welcome to the Project Love podcast. I'm Selena Barker.
And I'm Vicky Pavitt. And this is our Get Ready for Love series, where we offer practical tips and guidance on how to navigate the modern dating world and find the right partner for you.
Okay, Vicky, today let's talk about breadcrumbing. This is a topic that is very dear to my heart. I constantly attracted breadcrumbers for years and years and years. So let's start off by explaining what breadcrumbing is and then what to do about it.
Okay, so let's put it into the context of ghosting. So ghosting is the equivalent, I read this on a Guardian article once before and it really made me chuckle. Ghosting is when somebody says they're popping out for a pint of milk and they never come back. So ghosting is when someone disappears, but breadcrumbing is when someone keeps doing that. So it's like being ghosted over and over again. So they will disappear and then they'll pop back into your life, but then they'll disappear again and pop back into your life. And what they're doing is they're leaving crumbs for you to follow. It's never enough to fill you up, but it's just enough to keep you interested. And so it's the equivalent of just being led on, basically.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is what I attracted into my life for years. It really fed into my unconscious determination to prove myself right that I was always rejected. Like that was my thing. That was my narrative. I will be rejected. And so it was perfect match for people who weren't emotionally available, who wanted my attention, who wanted that sense of, oh, she wants me. And I was like, oh, he wants me. But then I got to be rejected and they got to be just constantly pulling away, never being basically emotionally available. And so I just got caught up in this cycle. And every time they come back, I'd be like, oh my God, maybe they did want me. And it always would go with this narrative of, they would be like, I'm just not ready. I really like you. I really do like you. I enjoy having sex with you, but I'm just not ready for a relationship. And so I'd be like, okay, be patient, Selena. You know, they're not ready, but they do really like you. Like they're doing their best. And nowadays I'm like, I call bullshit on that. They are getting what they want. They are just being able to avoid, for whatever reason, and actually on a number of occasions, it turns out they could be in a relationship, but they wanted to be in a relationship with someone else because off they went and did go into a relationship, just not with me. Yeah. And what was so interesting was any time I would finally, God, it was so toxic. It was so, the energy around it was so needy and rejecty, if those are even words. But every time I would let go of that person, almost energetically, they could sense it and they'd come back in. Yeah. I don't know how they knew, but literally within 24 hours of me going, and I'm finally over that person, they'd be like, the text would come in. And I was like, oh, okay, hang on a minute. This could all be different. Maybe they're ready. Maybe I can change them. Yeah. Maybe I can convince them, as if that's the kind of relationship you want to get into.
Yeah, maybe it will be different now. Yeah, it's so common. People say that to me all the time. As soon as you're over them, as soon as you're just able to let go, in comes the 2 a.m. text message. Oh, what are you up to? Hey, how are you? Long time no speak. Or, you know, tagging you in a meme on Instagram or WhatsApping you because they know. I think there is something in this, that there is, as you say, this energetic signal that is sent to them. Now is the time to get back in touch.
They're not doing it deliberately. You know, these aren't all, they're not calculating. They're not like going, and now I'm going to leave her hanging and not answer text messages. They're not trying to cause suffering. They're in their own suffering. There's a reason they've got their own shit going on. There's a reason why they're not emotionally available, why they're leading you on. And that is up to them to figure out. And there will be people listening to this who breadcrumb themselves. Like we've all been on either side of it. You know what I mean? It's not like here we are all being perfect and the victims to these horrible people out there. We all play these games, we're often unaware of what we're doing. You know, I was being breadcrumbed, but I was playing one side of that toxic game. You know, I was, something in me was being fed as well.
Exactly. And It's about not enabling that to happen, not exactly. enabling that behavior. If it keeps happening, I think once or twice, you know, depending on the reasons for somebody coming back into your life, I think there are times, of course, where life happens and maybe that person wasn't available right then, but then they come back into your life and they explain why they disappeared.
Exactly.
Then that's very different to somebody constantly repeating this behavior and then expecting you to always be available yourself for them. And so I think if that does keep happening to you and you notice that someone keeps treating you this way and keeps repeating this behavior, then it's about you being firm in your boundaries and not enabling that behavior anymore.
Yeah, and I think you've hit the nail on the head there, is that if they come back and they excuse it, but that, they're not taking any responsibility for it. If they come back and they say, I'm so sorry, I freaked out.
Yeah.
And I'm a bit damaged goods. I remember on my interview with Pav, your husband, talking about this. You know, if they come back and they say, I'm really sorry, and they acknowledge that what they did wasn't okay, and now they recognize because they weren't ready then, and now they are ready, and they're like apologizing for it, then you're suddenly in a whole different space. If they come back and they're just making excuses or throwing it back on you, don't be so, you know, dismissing it. Red flags all over that. All over that. Walk away.
Totally.
Be strong. Put down that healthy boundary. Walk away. They aren't ready. They are not emotionally available. And for me, the big moment was finally going, because this same kind of relationship, non-relationship, turned up in all sorts of different people over years. Finally, I just went, I said, I made the intention of, I am ready for someone who is really ready to be in a relationship, who wants to be in a relationship, who's emotionally available, and who's actually looking for it. And the moment I set that intention, that is then what did eventually appear. Not like literally the moment I did. Obviously, these things take time. But I stopped being willing to get into those anymore.
Yeah.
And I got out of them quickly, as soon as I sensed it happening.
Yeah. And I think you have to be willing to acknowledge that in yourself. I deserve more than this, and I am now putting an intention out to attract someone who will treat me with the love and respect that I really deserve. And now I see that's what I do deserve.
Yeah.
So something I do with clients is to get them to visualize themselves in a happy and healthy relationship and what it feels like, and really see that it's possible for them, and then to write down a statement of what it is that they're looking for. So a sentence or two. And it's usually, you know, I'm ready for someone who's kind, someone who's loving, someone who is ready for a relationship and emotionally available. And what I love about the relationship is, you know, how it's built on mutual respect and fun and laughter, and how we support each other to grow. You know, when you have that statement and you're very clear on that and you put it somewhere where you see it every day to remind yourself of that, I think it then changes your experience of dating.
Yeah.
Because you're going to spot the red flags. You're going to see clearly who's in that space and who isn't.
And you can also communicate that.
Yes.
So if this person who's breadcrumbing comes back again, you can have that conversation and you can say, look, this is what I want. I want a relationship. I want someone who's emotionally ready. I'm ready to get into a relationship. Are you? Because if you're not, let's stop this right here. And if they're like, then no, they're not. That's it. If they're like, yeah, I'm ready, let's do this. Then you can also have a conversation. Okay, well, we need to then have a conversation about your tendency to pull back. Like, how are we going to manage that? How are we going to handle that? Because maybe that is something that they do. They do run away. They do pull themselves away emotionally when they freak out or something's going on. Explain to them the impact of that. How are we going to handle this in our relationship? You know, because you nearly always have one person that pulls away and one person that's like dives in and is more needy. And so, you know, having that conversation, if they're willing to have that conversation, then you've got something to work with.
Yeah. And I think it's so healthy to begin a relationship like that, because we'll always be the students and teachers in the relationship. So you're always trying to teach your partner how to love you in the relationship, but you're also a student when they're trying to teach you how to love them as
exactly.
well. And so I think to start a relationship like that is just so healthy to, you know, have that conversation and then work together as a team.
Yeah.
And know that no one's perfect. We're not taught how to be in relationship at school. You know, many of us didn't have a good model of a relationship growing up. And so we are going to be learning on the go. We're going to be learning on the job. And if you do get that willingness from that other person to be on that learning journey with you, I think that could make for a great relationship.
Yeah. And I also think actually that, but even if you can't be taught actually how to be in a relationship, because every single combination is different. You can be definitely taught tools and you can definitely have, you know, great toolkits to how to communicate in relationships. But I think, because everyone's different, my relationship with one person is going to be different to my relationship with another person. We're going to have different things we need to navigate. And so I think any relationship you go into, even if you have got a great toolkit, you're still always, it's always going to be about learning from one another.
Yeah, totally.
You know, and I think that's all you need is someone who's willing to own, take responsibility for their actions.
Yes.
And hear how it has impacted on their partner.
Yeah.
And be willing to work together as a team so that no one gets left feeling upset or abandoned or resentful. Yeah, really interesting. So, breadcrumbers, that's how to deal with them.
There's a great School of Life quote. I think it goes, relationships are great classrooms.
Oh, yeah.
And so see it as that.
Yeah, I love that.
You've been listening to the Get Ready for Love series on the Project Love podcast.
We really hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you're feeling stuck in your love life and finding dating to be frustrating and exhausting, then come and join Get Ready for Love, our 30-lesson online course to transform your love life.
As well as having us, Selena and Vicky, as your co-pilots on your 30-lesson journey, bringing you a lesson every day and videos and audio tutorials bursting with energy and love, you'll also be welcomed into our private Facebook group, The Love Zone, where you can hang out with like-minded women and ask for help and guidance whenever you need it.
It really is gorgeous in there. So if you'd like to sign up to the Get Ready for Love course, or you'd like to find out more about love coaching with Vicky, then head on over to loveprojectlove.com.